Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Hope you enjoyed that song by the late Stephen Hill and the Gaither Homecoming Singers. A great song. And he left us too soon. But we have his music, and what a joy it is to be able to play it on the radio program today. I hope that you'll remember me as I am speaking this weekend, Bell Fountain, Ohio, at the First Church of God. That's November the 19th. And then November 26th to 29th, Lebanon, Tennessee. Our final revival meeting of 2023. So I do covet your prayers. Thank you so much for praying for us throughout the year. Thank you so much for those who have taken a few minutes to write us a letter, send us a card, and enclose a gift so we could stay on your radio station. And as we're approaching the holiday season, could I ask you a favor? Would you pray about making Lohman Ministries and the Lights of Spiritual Guidance a part of your Christmas giving? It would mean a lot. We don't work during the month of December, except for just a couple of speaking engagements that we have on December the 2nd and 3rd. But other than that, after that, through the first of the year, we're not working, and so we're not able to generate any revenue for the ministry. So we need your help. And it would mean so much if you would think about that and pray about that. You can write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I'd really appreciate it so very, very much. I'm going to conclude the message, Authentic Christianity, on the program today. And then next week, of course, we'll feature a sermon by my father that's yet to be determined. But I know you will enjoy the one we play for you next week. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for our listening audience. Thank you for those who tune in on a regular basis, those who might have just happened on the program today. And I pray that the message will be a blessing and a challenge as we think about what it really means to be authentic in our Christianity. I pray that you would be with those who are sick and shut in. Maybe this is the only church they have. And I pray that you would be with them especially today. Again, Father, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you for our listening audience. Thank you for those who support us. Thank you so much for your blessings in our lives. I pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. May God bless you as you listen to the final installment of Authentic Christianity.
Amid the storm. sheltered safe within His hand. I'm sheltered safe within His hand.
The thing that I don't want to live without is the presence of God. I can't live without His presence. I must have it. Jesus challenges us in this passage to count the cost, saving and losing, gaining and losing, paying the price to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What shall it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was an incredible theologian from Germany. He was an exceptional Christian who challenged the Nazi regime in the early days of Adolf Hitler and his rule in that nation. He stood up against Adolf Hitler, called him out in public, in a church, during a sermon, calling all the Lutheran pastors in Berlin, Germany, to take a stand with them against Adolf Hitler and the road he was taking the German people down. And no one but a few followed Bonhoeffer's admonition. The majority sided with Adolf Hitler. Dietrich Bonhoeffer escaped to England, actually came to America for a period of time. And then one day he said, I cannot stay here knowing what's going on in my country. And he went back to Germany. He wrestled with the ethics of whether or not to be involved with a conspiracy to have Adolf Hitler assassinated. And finally concluded, for the greater good, it would be best that Adolf Hitler be assassinated. His name was on a list of men who concurred with his conclusion. The Nazis found the list, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was arrested. Many of those men on that list were executed immediately. For 2 years, Dietrich Bonhoeffer lived in a prison. And during that 2 year period of time, he was influential in reaching those other inmates for the Lord. Many of those guards were brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. 2 weeks before the Allied victory in Germany, Adolf Hitler signed his death warrant, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hung by the neck at the age of 39. His book, The Cost of Discipleship, survived the Nazi book burnings. And in that book, he coined a phrase that haunts me to this day. He explains the hollowness of German Christianity in the book, but also it reflects upon the hollowness of Christianity in the 21st century church. We know what grace is. Webster defines it as unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. That's the definition of grace by Webster. Bonhoeffer coined this phrase, cheap grace. And I quote what he said. Grace is represented as the church's inexhaustible treasury, from which she showers blessings with generous hands, without asking questions or fixing limits. Grace without price. Grace without cost. And the essence of grace, we suppose, is that the account has been paid in advance. And because it has been paid in advance, we can have everything that we need spiritually for nothing. And that's true. Since the cost was infinite, the possibilities of grace and spending grace are infinite. What would grace be if it were not cheap, he asked. But then he observes this. Cheap grace creates a church where the world finds a cheap covering for sins. No contrition is required still less any real desire to be delivered from sin. Cheap grace means the justification of sin without the justification of the sinner. Grace alone does everything. Live any way you want to live. Grace will take care of it. So everything can remain the same as it was before I ever came to Jesus. Cheap grace. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Cheap grace is baptism without church discipline. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate inside of you and me. And these are my words. If we are not careful, folks, around the church of the 21st century, if we allow cheap grace to continue, it will create a Christianity that is worthless and has no value. The cost for all. But last of all, the challenge to all. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of his holy angels. Of what are you the most proud? What are you proud of tonight? What makes you get up in the morning? What puts a smile on your face during the day? What gives you energy to move forward through the day? What are you proud of? Well, I don't have any problem answering that question. Proud of her. She's the love of my life. She brings joy into my worldly existence that I cannot even begin to describe to this congregation. That's her son, Trent, my stepson. His wife and stepson. He's gifted, graphic design artist. He designs artwork for the Indianapolis Speedway, racetracks all over the world, all around the country. His artwork is immaculate. Proud to know Trent. We're good friends. We love each other. He's like a son to me. I'm proud of him. That's my son, Wes. Big Wes. 6'8", 290 pounds. I pity the man who comes to try and date one of his five daughters. But he's got five daughters. And he and Katie have done a remarkable job rearing those children. Proud of Wes. That's my son Winston. He married Becca. She's a Lutheran pastor's daughter. They have three children. They live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. When I met Becca back in 2013, I immediately realized the kind of young lady she was. Brilliant. She's got a double master's degree in genetics. She teaches genetic counseling at Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I told Winston, I said, if you don't marry her, I'm going to kill you. She has been an incredible blessing in his life and in our lives. Proud. That's Kenny. That's Gretchen's grandson by Trent, her son. My step-grandson. Kenny's over 6 years clean now. He was a drug addict for a long time. And he's clean. Got a beautiful wife. He's a graphic design artist like his dad. He got the artist gene. And he does remarkable work as well. Wraps race cars and stay-at-home dad, works from his home. I'm so proud of Kenny. You could do the same thing, couldn't you? You could whip out your iPhone. You could say, well, let me show you mine. Let me show you my crowd, my family. Sure, you could do that, and it's good, and we ought to do that. We're proud of these people that are special in our lives, but let's reverse it. Who's proud of you? Can Jesus take you out there? You're going to have this car show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. I'm a car guy. I'm excited about coming down here and participating in that with you. When that happens tomorrow, if Jesus were to show up in the flesh, could he take you by the arm put you right in the thick of that crowd and say, folks, can I have your attention? I want to introduce you to, and say, he's one of mine, and I'm proud. Just look at him. Look at her. Watch them. See how they carry themselves. See how they act. See how they love me. How they're not ashamed of that. Just look at that. Can he do that with you? Just a question. I want to read you something in conclusion tonight. It's probably one of the most provocative, sobering things I've ever come across in recent years. It's titled "The Question That Changed My Life" by a man by the name of David Reiser. I'm going to read it because I want you to get it all. Listen closely. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of teaching at a school of ministry. My students were hungry for God, and I was constantly searching for ways to challenge them to fall more in love with Jesus and to become voices for revival in the church. I came across a quote attributed most often to Reverend Sam Pascoe. It is a short version of the history of Christianity, and it goes like this. Christianity started in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. It came to America and became an enterprise. I noted that some of the students were only 18 or 19 years old. And I wanted them to understand and appreciate the importance of the last line. So I clarified it by adding this. An enterprise, this is a business. A few moments later, Martha, the youngest student in the class, raised her hand. Could not imagine what her question might be. I thought the little vignette was self-explanatory, that I had performed it brilliantly. Nevertheless, I acknowledged Martha's raised hand and said, "Yes, Martha." She asked a simple question. "A business? But isn't it the church supposed to be a body? A body?" I could not envision where this line of questioning was going, and the only response I could think of was, "Well, yes." She continued. "But when a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute?" The room went dead silent. For several seconds, no one moved or spoke. We were stunned, afraid to make a sound because the presence of God had flooded the room. And we knew we were on holy ground. God had taken over the class. Martha's question changed my life. For 6 months, I thought about her question at least once a day. When a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? There's only one answer to her question. The answer is yes. That's what happened. When the body becomes a business, it's a prostitute. And then Reiser says this. The American church, tragically, is heavily populated by people who do not love God. How can we really love him? We don't even know him. I mean, really know him. I stand by my statement that most American Christians do not know God, much less love him. We're commanded to love God and we're called to be the bride of Christ. That's pretty intimate stuff. We're supposed to be his lovers. How can we love someone we don't even know? And even if we know someone, is that a guarantee that we truly love them? Are we lovers or prostitutes? I was pondering Martha's question one day and considered the question, what's the difference between a lover and a prostitute? I realized that both do many of the same things, but a lover does what she does because she loves. A prostitute pretends to love, but only as long as you pay. Then I asked the question, what would happen if God stopped paying me? For the next several months, I allowed God to search me to uncover my motives for loving and serving him. Was I truly a lover of God? What would happen if he stopped blessing me? If he never did another thing for me, would I still love him? Please understand, he said, I believe the promises and blessings of God. The issue is not whether God blesses his children. The issue is the condition of my heart. The issue is the condition of my heart. Why do I serve him? Are his blessings in my life the gifts of a loving father? Or are they a wage that I have earned, or a bribe, or a payment to love him? Do I love God without any conditions? Prostitute Christian? Pay me, and I'll love you. Or authentic Christian? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me, my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Faustoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.